Good morning, everybody. Good morning. I just want to mark the passing of Yetta Sofer. He was to come to learn here. And she passed away, I think it was during Chalamayah. A very, very good woman. So she should be in Nisa Yosha for her family as a Kalispa. There are psukim that we most probably read thousands of times. And then all of a sudden comes the moment at which we realize that we didn't get the pasuk at all. It was so simple. So simple. But it was not so simple. Number one is a pasuk that appears 5-6 times in Parashat Bereshit, in the Parashat Creation, and we're only beginning with this. It's all going to lead directly to Lech Lecha. Though I wasn't here last week, I still keep track of the Parashat. I know that this coming Shabbos is going to be Lech Lecha. Now here it is, number one, Vayara Elokim et Ha'or Kitov, Vayara Elokim ben Ha'or uben Akosher. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated between the light and the darkness. Now, what does it mean? And God saw that the light was good. Are we to assume that, you know, the Rebbe Shlomo is like an artist? He creates a work of art, and then he steps back to take a look. Is it good? Is it not so good? Is it nonsense? He knows what he's creating. He knows that what he's creating is a master work of art. It's not just like, well, let's say, I just made life. Now, is it good? Is it bad? Does it need to be changed? He knows. He's the master artist of all. So what do you mean? Vayara Elokim et Ha'or, God saw the light. He told. And why? He was thrilled that it's good. Am I looking at the Shire witches from West Hempstead? I mean, if both of you come with sunglasses and you think that I'm not going to figure out who you are, and I did. And welcome. Wonderful, wonderful people. Everybody from West Hempstead is wonderful. So you get the question, Vayara Elokim, God saw the light, said it's good. In other words, he made something, he stepped back. That was good. That can't be the pshat. It's absolutely ridiculous. So the Kavar Kabbalah says a different shot. And it's fascinating. Let's take a quick look through number three. Two is going to be the proof for number three. Vayar Elokim et Ha'or Koma. You know how the word Vayar is supposed to be understood? Hotzi et Ha'or El Geder Hagolui. He brought out the light so that it is revealed. Vayar Elokim means God made it seen. Made it possible for people to look at it. That sounds like a pretty radical understanding of the word Vayar. God made it seen. Now watch. Hotzio min gidro hakodum, he brought out the light from its previous confines. Shohim chusa v'nelam v'tsuyuro yidvarach, it was concealed, it was hidden, it wasn't there. The world wasn't able to see it, and now he made it seeable. Min v'tsuyuto ha'nedar halav zeh, from its being, which was concealed, he brought it and Yeshua to be a reality, the Havayat Mitziuto, and it becomes part of a world. It exists. It exists. It didn't exist for the world beforehand, but God knew all about it. He knew that it was perfect. He knew it was great. He's not the artist who's standing back there to take a look and see if what he created is good. Because the entire new world that was brought into being and all of its details, what they really are is a movement from potential to real. In potential was all there. God knew its perfection. You'd see him in a car from potential to the real. Something that previously was concealed, was non-existent. Mitzvot HaMurgash, a reality that you can feel. It was there, but you couldn't see it. Ki etzlo yitbarak, because my God, blessed be He, for your tongue did toil. It was always there in reality, because He already had it in His mind's eye. God had it. He knows exactly what it is. He knows that it's perfect. He knows that it's great. But it's us, the rest of the world, who begins to see it from that moment on. Vayar Elokim et Ha'or, so he reads, Vayar Elokim et Ha'or, God made the light be seen. Wait, watch. Now you have to prove this. You can't just go ahead and start interpreting words in Torah in a radically different way and get away with it. You have to be able to prove that it's so. The whole idea of the creation of the world is only revealing something that had previously been covered. Zemtan, that's the meaning of Vayara Elokim. Era, he showed it. In other words, the word Vayar is a transitive verb. He made it seen. Vayar Elokim had over Hotzio Yedra Hagolim Amir Vayir Vayar Poel Yotze. A Poel Yotze is a transitive verb. Kamo Vayar Otele Ben Amelech. You know what proof he's bringing? That proof is number two. We don't have to read it all, don't get shook up. I'll tell you what it's talking about. There's a terrible period in Jewish history. There was a woman by the name of Ataliah, whose son was Ahaziyahu, king of Yehuda. And Ahaziyahu, king of Yehuda, was killed in battle by Yehu, king of Israel. And it says that when Ahaziyahu saw that her son, the king, had been killed, she didn't want anyone else to take power, so she slaughtered the entire royal family, her family. She slaughtered the whole family, and she ruled. But unbeknownst to her, all right, Atayahu, I'm going to read it quickly, Atayahu, the mother of Chaziyahu, the king of Yerusha, she saw, she made Benoah that her son had died, Batokam, she arose, Batabeh, the Kozer, she destroyed the entire seed of the kingdom. Batikach now, Yehosheba bat HaMelech Yoram, Achot HaChaziyahu, Yehosheba, who was the daughter of King Yoram, and she was therefore the sister of Ahaziyahu, who was now king and had been killed. She took Yoash ben Ahaziyahu, there was a little boy, there was a little baby. Little baby's name was Yoash. She took Yoash, the son of King Ahaziyahu, but Tivnov Otomi Toch Bnei HaMela HaMumatin. She stole him away from the midst of all the sons of the king who had been killed. He was there, covered by some bodies. She took him out. Ve'et mei nakto in his nurse, v'chadar amitot, They took him to some place near the Beit HaMikdash, and they concealed him from the tyrant, Antayahu. So she thinks she's the only one left of her family, and therefore she's the absolute ruler. But meanwhile, there's this little Beitchikon that is being hidden and taken care of in the Beit HaMikdash. They hid him from before Akayo, below Humat, he was not killed. And what's even more fascinating is, this goes on for about 6 years, and nobody leaks a word of information. Nobody leaks a word. I'm telling you, every day you can read in the paper about a secret meeting that took place between Abu Shmazin and somebody else. All secret meetings. And there it is, on the front page of the newspaper. Secret, full secret. There are no secrets anymore in this world. So over here, they kept it quiet. They kept it quiet. Vahi Itam Beit Hashem, this little baby Yosh was there in the house of God, mitchabei, hidden, sheish shanim. Vatayo, molechet halaris, and Vatayo was ruled over the land. Vashorah Hashmias, in the 7th year, Shorah Yehoyada, Yehoyada was the Kohen, he took Sore Hameos, Vakori Lo Arosim, he gathered the soldiers, the army, the footmen, Vayavay Otam Eleven, he brought them to him, Beit Hashem, the house of God. Vayitrot Lehav Zidr, he made a covenant with them. Vayashbao Tam Beit Hashem, in the house of God, he made them take an oath. Now look at the words that are underlined. Vayar Otam Ben Hamelech. He showed them the son of the king. Do you hear what the word Vayar? Vayar? He saw the son of the king? No, he didn't see the son of the king. Vayar Otam Ben Hamelech. When you see the word Vayar, Re'iyah is very fascinating. It's not only here, it's going to come. Vayar Otam Ben Hamelech. He showed them the son of the king. So the Ketavah Kabbalah says over here, Vayar Olukim Et Ha'or. Doesn't mean that God saw the or. He knew all about it. He made it. Vayar, he made it seen. Showed it to a world that was coming into being. And now one other thing the Ketavah Kabbalah has to explain. What are the meanings of the two words, Kitov? The way we've read it up until now, we understood it as God saw the light, that it is good. No. Kitov, the translation of Kitov is, because he, God, is good. And because he's good, he now presents light to the world. Because he's creating a world in order that he should be able to express his goodness. He wants to be able to give. He wants to be able to grace, to endow, to pour out his beneficence. That's what he wants to do. Kitov, because God is good. Completely different understanding that you ever had of the prophet. Take a quick look back into the Ketavah Kabbalah, Kitov, Peyush, Mitzar Tuvo HaGedolo, because of God's great goodness. Also, he made it Lohotziyeh HaHeder El Metzias. He took that which was not and brought it into reality. The Chenor HaKol Yom Yom, that's what he said. That's what it says every day. The story of creation. Every day it said, Vayar Elokim Kito. Vayar Elokim, he brought it out into the world. He showed it to the world. You know why? Because he is good. And he wants to shower his goodness upon mankind. The Psalms say the same thing. Became our Kolos Habriya, the entirety of the creation. Vayar Hashem et Kol Asher Osa. On the last day it says, on the sixth day it says, and Vayar Hashem, That poem should also be the Kod Yod. I can't even translate it anymore. Vayar Lekim, he didn't see. He made seeing. He made seeing. Everything that he made. V'nei tov miyod. Ki hamugdomen v'yitzida enum v'yitzinas malofom v'madrega hamitzilut rakus yitzorach hanedraim atanem. Everything that came before in creation was good only in terms of how it will serve those who come later in creation. The story of creation, of course, is from the lowest forms to the highest forms. It goes from water, land, sea, light, darkness, grass, trees, fruit, animals, fish, and then ultimately the crown of creation, man. Everything was necessary for the stage that will come later. And ultimately everything was necessary for the sake of man. And he's going to go on to say that the Rabbeinu Shem wanted man to live in a beautiful world. I mean, he could have lived in a world with, a little shrubbery and some, what's that stuff that grows in the desert? What?
Cactus.
Could have lived in a world of cactus. Not a world of cactus. A world of awesome beauty. Awesome natural beauty. I don't know how many millions of kind of birds there are. I don't know, I get this, lately somebody started sending me some videos on the my computer, Baba, and they had 21 birds from Sumpash, lived in a place in Southeast Asia. I just sat there and I looked at the awesome creations. We have seen them before. Awesome creations. By the way, it's bird time in Eretz Yisrael today, and I don't know if somebody on the phone talked me into getting National Geographic in Hebrew. I never had National Geographic when I was a little boy. I read it at the dentist's office or the doctor's office, and it usually was from about 50 years earlier, but I got my first copy, a few days ago, my first copy of National Geographic. And then they had 10 questions. I'm not going to tell you all the 10 questions, but they were, how many birds are going to land in Israel on their way to warmer climates? It's happening this month. 1 billion. 1 billion birds. They know where to go. Birds know where to go on Aliyah. I think I told you. What?
The Hula Valley.
No, but there are some places along the coast also where the birds stop. They have their
stations.
They have their spots where they go to. And I told you a few years ago, they used to go to Syria and to the Sinai Peninsula. But hunters killed them there. So they sent out word to all the birds in the world, stay away from Syria and stay away from Sinai. So they come straight to Israel. They have more safe than the rest of the world. They know exactly where the most peaceful place in the world is. Yes.
Observatory.
What?
There's a bird observatory where you can see them coming.
We're thinking of thinking of every year we say we're going to go up to see the birds. When my doctor told me, you've got to go see the birds. Now, what in heaven did that have to do with the this year? It had something to do. All this beauty was created for man. Everything that came earlier in creation was for the latter part of creation. All right? So what does ketot mean? Ketot means because God is good and he wants to share his goodness. He wants to shower his goodness. He wants to express his goodness.
So therefore it occurred to me, number, I'm jumping, but it's not so bad. Number six, Vayomer Hashem Elokim, God said, Lo tov heyos ha'odom levado. It's not good for man to be alone. Esalo eze kinegra, I'm going to make a helper.
Five.
Okay, good, you're watching, I see. Okay, very good. So you know how I read it now? Vayomer Hashem Elokim, God said, Lo tov heyos ha'odom levado. Man cannot express his goodness and his love if he's alone. He needs somebody. Not just companionship. Man, created in the image of God, also has the need and the desire to express his goodness. Lo tov, he cannot express his goodness if he is alone. That's not a bad shot. Took me all these years till I got to it, but not a bad shot at all. But then, here, he, talking about the word seeing, now take a look at number four. Benching. Now the east in Gamza County. The Lora Iti Tzadik Nezor, the Zara Mavakish Lachin. Is that true? I was young, and then I got old, and I never saw a tzaddik who is forsaken, and his children seek bread. Is that true? No, it's not true. Of course we've seen tzaddikim never who are in desperate straits. What are you talking about? So I took here from the Koren Siddur, where Rabbi Sachs brings the great shot of Rav Soloveitchik. Amnar Hayiti, Gamzo County, Veloda Iti. It's going to be another shot, another meaning of the word Ra'iti. I'll read it. The standard translation, that's 4A. 4A. Once I was young. The standard translation of this verse is, I was young and now I'm old, and I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his children searching for bread. I have translated here according to the fine insight of the late Rav Yosef Soloveitchik, who argued that the verb ra'iti, the verb saw, should be understood in the sense in which it appears in the book of Esther, when Esther, pleading on behalf of Jewry, says, Eichoch, I'll say it in Hebrew, Eichoch, she tells Achashverosh, Eichoch, Uchal, how can I, Ra'iti et Havra, I'm going to see the evil that will befall my people. So what does she mean? So he says, you know what she's telling him? How can I see and stand by and do nothing? How can I see it without acting? So the word ra'iti is not just simply seeing. It's a seeing that is a urges one on, motivates him to action. A chocho uchal. How does he have, how can I watch the evil that shall come on my people? Or how can I watch the destruction of my kindred? The verb there means stand as a passive witness. A chocho uchal, how can I ra'iti and see it and be passive and do nothing? Impossible. I can't do that. Taken in this sense, Psalm 37 should be understood as, when the righteous was forsaken or his children forced to search for bread, I never merely stood and watched. What a different job. Never iti Gamza County, the Lora iti Tzadik Nezor, I never just stood and witnessed a tzadik who is in need and did nothing. I always did something. What a different pshat and a whole puzzle.
Because the word vidaiti is taking on a great deal more than simple passive watching. It's something that moves me. I have to do something about it. Just as Vayah Elokim is a transitive verb. He showed light to the world. He created it for the world. All right. Then we have one more. Vayomer Hashem el Avram. God said to Avram, first pasuk of the first famous pasuk, or the famous first pasuk of this sefer, God said to Avram, Lech from the Arzucha, umimelalecha, umibet avicha, leave your land, your birthplace, and your father's house, el ha'oretz asher aretzecha. What does the translation say? To the land that I will show you. Not enough. If it would have meant to the land that I will show you, it should have said, Asher Ar-Eh Otcha, the land that I'm going to show you. Ar-Eh is a completely different meaning. In the past, I had explained Ar-Eh, Avram, I'm going to show you what you can truly be. You're going to achieve real greatness in that land that you're going to. I will show you what you are, what great power, what great strength, and what faith, and what intellect you have. 2 days ago, it occurred to me there may be another shot. Just like the Vayyadol Akim. I'm going to show a whole world what the Jewish people will be, your people. I'm going to show you off to the world. I'm going to show you off to the world. So here in the middle of this all, what is it? I usually like what Rabbi Wein writes, especially when he writes something that I said about 20 years ago. Then I certainly like what he said. He's a good man. He's a very good man. It's quite a... I think the historians most probably will go to work on him. It was this... His weekly blog, The Residue of the Great War. The Great War is what they call the First World War, because for about 20 years they didn't know that it was the First World War. It didn't become the First World War until the Second World War. So why did they call it until 1939? Until 1939 they called it the Great War. And he says that nothing emerged from the Great War that was a success. It was a failure of America in Europe of the most awesome proportions. It was not the war to end all wars, because an even worse war came afterwards. But more than that, there were a lot of countries that came into being as a result of the First World War. Yugoslavia, Czechoslovakia, Iran, Syria, Lebanon, Algeria, these Kachomim sat around the table and they doodled and they made borders.
Jordan.
But once Jordan, right, yes, the Hashemite Kingdom. I don't know. They sat around and they carved out states. There's only one thing that they didn't take into consideration. In carving out a state, you have to take into consideration what is the ethnic makeup of the people within that line that you drew. They paid no attention whatsoever to it. And we see the results now. Yugoslavia and Czechoslovakia already collapsed 20 years ago, 30 years ago. They became, I don't know how many different states, Slovenia, Czech Republic, everything was in Sarajevo, Bosnia. I can't remember all the states over there. The Arab world now is simply crumbling because they didn't take into consideration the Sunnis, the Shiites, the Alawites, the Vaids. I mean, thank God that Sidon and the Snagdon can get together and get along better than the Sunnis and the Shiites. Didn't take it into consideration. But he says, you know what bothers Europe? There's only one thing that emerged from the First World War that's been the greatest success of the 20th century, State of Israel. Balfour Declaration of 1917, that was approved then by the League of Nations in 1920-21. All the rest are areas of absolute devastation. And here is this little Medina over here. This is a world power. It's unbelievable. When I think about it, unbelievable. Everything going on over here. I spoke someplace in Hanover Friday night. I was talking about I learned here in Yeshiva in 1955. So I had the opportunity to see Yerushalayim in 1955. So I can compare it with today. I mean, there's obviously no comparison at all. It was a little backward city over there. If you would have told me in 1955 that there would be a light rail chugging its way through Yerushalayim, I'd say, you're crazy. Get out of your mind. First, they have to get the donkeys off the road before they And then we were here on sabbatical from Westminster in 1980. And I bought for that year, I bought a fresh Lugner Peugeot. Everybody and his kid brother had white Peugeots. That, you know, they move. And I just, one scene comes to mind. Up the block by right past Yeshurun. I'm driving or chugging or schlepping along in my Peugeot, and I see Shlomo Kalbach and his guitar. So I stop the car. Shlomo, holy brother, where are you going? He's going to buy a guitar. I'm also going to buy a guitar. Shlomo, come on in, I'll take you to buy a guitar. So first of all, he opens up the back door till he gets his guitar in, was ready, and I said, until he got, not in, he didn't get the best part of the story. Nobody hugged me. Can you stop today for 1 minute on King George and not be hurt out of existence? And the car go around the road for a bunch of tandas like the one I was what a difference. So Rabbi Wein says that he goes a step further, but he says that he becomes from historian and rabbi, he becomes psychologist. So then when it comes to psychology, I don't know, maybe we disagree with him. But he says that this is troubling Europe to the extent that they would be very happy if they could get rid of the State of Israel. The State of Israel is a terrible reminder to them that everything else they did in the aftermath of the war was a failure. And if you see him on Shabbos, tell him I hold that he's right. He's right. That the psychology, no, it's right. I'm going to show you and your people and this land off to the rest of the world. That's what I'm going to do. New shot in our Arepa. I like it. All right, now let's go further. We've got a lot more to do over here. All right, let's turn over the page. Do some quick reading over here. There's a world war going on. Four nations against five nations. The four nations vanquish the five. They take hostages. No, they simply walk off with men, women, children, wealth, cattle, slaves, the works. And they also take Lot. Lot, the nephew of Avraham. And then comes the midnight ride of Avraham Avinu. He goes out with his 318 men, which in and of itself, the decision that he makes to go out is one of the awesome decisions of history. He didn't really... He was up against four superpowers. Where did he get the courage? Where did he get the strength? But you know what Avraham Avinu was? Eichocha uchal v'ro'iti. As Esther said, how can I watch my mishpucha being taken Lot? This is a Lot, by the way, had betrayed him. Lot had gone off to live in Sodom. Avraham Avinu could have thought to himself, maybe it's your own fault. Who asked you to go live with those Rishoyim over there? I have to go sacrifice, put my life on the line for you. But no, Avraham Avinu goes out. And he does his job. I mean, this is the first Entebbe in history. And the world is overwhelmed. Avraham Avinu vanquishes the four great kings, especially because he had a great commander-in-chief, Eliezer, and the leader of the four kings was Amraphel. Amraphel was Nimrod. Nimrod was Eliezer's father. Eliezer rejected his own father and joined his father's great nemesis. Nimrod is the one who cast Avraham into the furnace, and Eliezer, the son, that's what children always are. What could have hurt his father more than anything else? If he wants to get back at his father because he didn't like what the allowance he gave him. He wanted a car, he didn't buy him a car. So what can he do? He can either join Avraham, he can become a Breslover or a Chabatzler. Eliezer joins Avraham, and then he's the one who goes out and wages war against his own father and destroys the former. They come back. They're on the way back. Let's go. It's from the second line. Vayosha the Kohen Chush, he brought everything back, all the possessions. The Ganet Lot Ochiv, Lot, his brother's son, Uruk, from Shoheshiv, he brought that back. The Ganet Hanoshiv at Ha'am, and the women and the people. By the way, in this passage, what's interesting is we would have thought that he went out to war only because of Lot. He heard that his nephew had been taken, so he goes out to fight. No. Avraham Avinu is a man of justice and morality. He brought back all the rechush and also Lot and his rechush. Avraham went out because there was a task to be done. There was immorality in the world. And he fought it. Now watch what happens. We don't know this at all. Vayetze Mel Sodom v'Trachon, the king of Sodom came out with him. Acharei Shuvo Mehakot at Gedor Olome, after he returned from striking Gedor Olome, that Hamalach Masherito and the kings who were with him before. He went out El Emek Shove to the valley, what do they call it, the valley of Shove, Hu Emek HaMelech, which is the king's valley, whatever it is. Now, something happens over here. The story of Melech Sidon is interrupted because by Chamishi, a few psukim later, four psukim later, the king of Sidon is going to tell Avraham, keep all of the wealth and give me the souls. So now, why is it interrupted with the story of Malki Tzedek? No, there's something that is taking place over here that should not take place. If you start telling me about the King of Stone coming out, so tell us what transpired between Avraham and the King of Stone. But notice what happens. There's an interruption. Umalki Tzedek, Melech Sholem, Malki Tzedek, the King of Sholem, Hotzi Lechem V'Yayim, brought out bread and wine, who Kohen Le'el Elyon, and he was a priest to the great God. Our rabbis say that that was Shem, the son of Noah, okay? V'Yivorecheu, and Malki Tzedek blessed him. Sholem, of course, is Yerushalayim, the Targum. Uncle says Yerushalayim, okay? He brought out bread and wine, and he's called by Yorchei, and he blessed him, and he said, Baruch Avram, the Kehel Elyon, Avram, be blessed to the Most High God, Konei Shemayim Vores, the one who made heaven and earth. Baruch Kehel Elyon, and blessed is the Almighty God, Hashem, he gained Zorecho, Yorecho, who gave over your oppressors into their hand. By Yitin Lamasa, he called Avram, gave Meitzer, a tenth from all the loot and the booty and the spoils of war he gave to Malki Tzedek. Now, interruption is over. We were here in the middle of King of Stone, who has come out on him. By Yom HaMelosodom Avram, the King of Stone said to Avram, Ten li ha-nefesh, give me the souls, give me the people, or push Tachroth, you can keep all the wealth, all the spoils. By Yomer Avram el Melech Sodom. Avram said to the King of Sodom, Harimoti Yadil Hashem El Elyon. I've lifted up my hand in an oath. The Almighty God, Konei Shamayim Vaaretz, the one who made, who acquired, heaven and earth are His. In Mirchut Bar Sodom now, if I will take a thread or a shoestring from you, the Etachmi Tolashalach shall take anything from anything that belongs to you. Hello, Toma, you shouldn't be able to say, Niha Esharti of Avram. I made Avram rich. I mean, Avram is speaking in a very, negative, or it must be a better word, acerbic? No. He's just plain hostile and belligerent. That's exactly what Avraham is. Why is he... what has gotten Avraham Avinu's dander up that he goes after the King of Sodom? And we're not finished. The only thing I'm not going to give you is that which the soldiers who came with me, they have a right to the spoils of war. And the portion of the people who went with me, Oner, Eshko, Umamre, who were his allies, Hengi, Kru, Felkan, they shall take their portion. And something's happening over here. The interruption in the middle of the story, and Avraham's belligerency to the King of Sodom. So on the first question, let's go to the left, to the Arachayim. Umalki Tzedek. Rabbeinu Amru, our rabbi said to you, Shem, that he is Shem, son of God. V'tam shehiftik b'inyan melech sholem b'yitziyat melech sedom lahodaz devorah l'avram. The reason why there's an interruption between the arrival of the King of Sodom and what he's ultimately going to say to Avram with the story of Malki Tzedek, lahagid shevach hatzadikim, in order to tell us the praise of the righteous. What's the difference between them and the evil? The King of Sodom comes out with nothing in his hand. He doesn't bring anything. Melchizedek comes bringing lechem v'yayin, bread and wine. The purpose really it is, Avraham has just returned from a major campaign. Maybe they're hungry, maybe they need something. Malki Tzedek is a giver, a natural giver. King of Sodom, who should be more thankful than anybody in the whole world to Avraham, comes out empty-handed. He comes out to make a deal with them. So they, the Torah put that pasuk in. The Malkit said it. Story goes, you've spoken. Just to tell you, take a look at this. Melech Tzedon comes out with nothing. Malkit said it, Melech Shalem. Comes out the way one should greet a weary returning warrior. The King of Stone, the Rechaim goes on further to say that the King of Stone came out empty-handed. Hagam she'elot yefuyov lahagdu pnei avlon b'mincha shigar ha-melech. He was the one who should have come out toward Avlon with gifts, shigar ha-melech, like only a king is able to do. He owes him everything. He owes him everything. Who? Arasha? Yotzabi, your dying day pious. This evil person came out with empty hands. The shame, Hatzadik. Shame, who is the righteous one. Mibli chiyuv nidivos. Without any other, there's no obligation on him to be generous without long. Yotz, the Hibbu, Konav, the left of the yain. He took counsel and understood that he had to come out to our home with bread and wine. So I'll tell you, first of all, maybe I should do tshuva. You know, for example, those of you who followed my shul in the last 20, 25 years, there were years that I liked Noah, and there were years that I didn't like Noah. The famous Rashi, Yesh Darshan L'Shrach, Yesh Darshan L'Gnai, some see Noah as praiseworthy, others see Noah as he deserves condemnation. So every year I take one side of the argument. The fact is, I already settled down a few years ago, and I decided Noah was a good man, and I'm upset with those who find fault with him. All right, but I have to tell you, Malki said it. Malki said it upset me for many years. And I think he's still on a certain level, he still upsets me. There's a world war going on. Four against five is a world war. And the Prince of Peace in the City of Peace does nothing. He does nothing. Shame, there's a world war going on. You have no statement to make. You have nothing to say. There's nothing you can do. No. Maybe he's praying, maybe, I don't know. But he isn't doing that. Maybe he made a few pronouncements that could have been understood maybe by some that he was condemning the world war, but he wanted to be even-handed, you know. He wanted to be even-handed, so he had to be very careful with his statements. You know, you have to remain friends with both sides, you understand? He has to be buddy-buddy like Kerry with Qatar, the biggest funders of terrorism in the world. You gotta be even-handed, Malki Tzedek does nothing. Avraham Avinu goes out there. He fights evil. He fights terrorism. So I didn't like Malki Tzedek for a long time. And I say I still did the real residue of my of a tiny that I have there. But listen, if he's Shem ben Noach, then well, if they're Dorich, Noach lignai, so and I can do whatever I want. But no, I felt bad. It still troubles me. He did nothing. A world war. Who knows how many people are being killed every day? Beheaded. By the way, what in heaven's name has the great spiritual leaders in the world said about all the people that are being killed in Syria in Iraq, in Afghanistan, in Kuwait, Libya, Somalia, Darfur, Rwanda, give me a break. There's been so much killing going on in the world, it's unbelievable. I don't hear any great spiritual leaders over there rising. The only ones who've done something good, the first ones, or maybe the second ones on the site of a disaster someplace in the world, are the Israeli teams of doctors. First ones, always there. Mashula had one of the kids was in charge of a field hospital. Boy, the places that he went in the world to set up field hospitals. But now, once I have the Orach Chaim, so it's tempering how I feel about Malki Tzedek. At least he had the intelligence and sense to come out with bread and wine in order to create a problem. But what's most troubling, and that's what we have to deal with now, why the belligerence of Avraham Avinu to the king of Sodom? I thought about it for a while, and then I saw Hanan Parah. Oh, I saw the nice, very nice article on this, right, very nicely. The king of Sodom and Avraham were poles apart. They were worlds apart. The whole world apart. Sodom had legislated evil as the norm. The norm is evil. We don't want guests. We don't want to take care of the poor. Most probably the king of Sodom could have said, Not Hagisi Vigams Akanti. And I never did a thing about Zaro Levakish Lach. Avraham Avinu has created a whole new standard in the world. The standard of Hakmas Zarfan. We're going to see it again next week, Saturday. As the Rav always used to say, Avraham Avinu's third day after his milah, and it's a very, very hot day. And he sees on the road, Drei schmutzige Bedeviner. I don't want to translate. And he goes running out. He goes running out. Blue eyes there. What did he do? I would have said, if he would have asked his local Orthodox rabbi, he would have told him, listen, I want to be 99 years old, just had a Bris Mila, stay in bed, drink fluids, and let the idiots who are walking out on such a hot day, whatever happens to them, who asked them to go there? Avraham Avinu is the furthest away from Melech Sodom. The exact opposites. What the opposites? Two completely different planets they live in. Avraham Avinu is a smart man. He understands exactly what's going on in the mind of this fellow, the king of stone. And by the way, what makes the problem even worse, earlier in the Seder, when Avraham Avinu comes down to Mitzrayim, so he tells his wife, say that you're my sister, and they will do good with me because of you. And Rashi says, I'm not going to go into that Rashi now, it'll take us another week, Rashi says, Yitnu li matanos. They're going to give me gifts because of you. So Avraham Avinu seems to like the idea of having gifts. And over here, not a plump fruit that I want of you. I won't take anything that's yours. What happened to him? He knows what's going on. You know what Melech Sodom wants? Melech Sodom wants to be able to take the chesed of Avraham, the goodness of Avraham, and make it absolutely meaningless. Because he's hoping that Avram will take from the spoils. Especially since, according to halacha, the halacha of the world is, the victor takes, to the victor belong the spoils. Mm-hmm. It all belongs legally and halachically to Avram. He wants Avram to take it. Because then, for all time, he'll be able to say, take a look, Avram is a man of great chesed. The king of stone will say, you don't tell me stories about Avram being a chesed. He wanted money. He risked his life to go out there in order to come back with all the spoils of the load. He's not such a big ball chesed. Don't give me. Everything is business, you know. Everything is business. If Avram would have taken one pruta from king of stone, the king of stone would have used that against him for all time. Yeah, and what kind of sweet did he have in Damascus when he got there? How much ice cream does he eat with that during the pussy? You always find the kind. Avraham Avinu was not going to permit the king of stone to taint the chesed of Avraham. The chesed of Avraham and also his justice. He tells them very clearly, those who came with me, they deserve a share. And I gave them their share, and they got it. By the way, do you know what it is that gives the king of stone the idea to offer him, take all the money? Because when the Melchizedek came out, it says at the end, Vayiten lo meiser mikol, he gave a tenth of all the spoils to Melchizedek. By what right does he give a tenth to Melchizedek? Because Avram rightfully knows that it all belongs to him. He's the victor. To the victor belong the spoils. That's why he gives Melchizedek a tenth. So now, King of Stone is just hoping he'll take more. And then Avram remains tainted for all time. Therefore, Avram knows exactly what's going on in the mind of this conniving Russia, you understand? The one who can't even come up with a little bit of, you know, some herring and crackers to give to Avraham Avinu who's come back from a major campaign. He knows what's going on in his mind. He wants to smear Avraham for all time. He couldn't have called him an apartheid nigger at the time. He could, of course, accused them of genocide. That's right. We didn't even think of it yet. They hadn't discovered genocide yet. Avraham Avinu saw through Melech Sodom. He saw what he wanted to do. And therefore he says, I swore to God, I'm not going to take a shoestring from you. Not a thing. Avraham Avinu's chesed remains intact, untainted, and unsoiled. And the vast difference between the two remains intact for all time. Alright, so we took a little journey from Vayara with Kim Kitov until we came to El Horez Asher Al Echo. It's with this act of Avraham that the prevention shows off Avraham to the rest of the world. This is Avraham. This is the one who's going to be the father of my great people. And this is the land in which he's going to do it. El Ha'aretz Asher Al-Echa, I'm going to show you, Avraham, what you can be, and I'm going to show you and your children off to a whole world. Lo shamati.